The sixth parak of Pirkei Avos is a little bit of a mystery, if not a misnomer. A brief bit of history before we delve into one of the pieces here. So, originally as a Mishnah and a Masechet of Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos or Avos was really only five chapters. However, about the time of the Gaonim, there evolved the minhag of learning these Mishnayos in the weeks in between the conclusion of Pesach and Shavuos, the 6 weeks after Pesach and Shavuos. The only problem was there were 6 weeks and only five chapters. So in a way to make the Masechet more compatible with the emerging Minhag, around that period there was a collection of Brisos, not Mishnas, but technically Brisos, again from Tanoim, but not things that had been originally redacted and included by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi in the Mishnah, but a collection of other brisos that were collected and put together and appended, and that was what is called and that we have until this very day in any published Mishnah or Siddur that has Pirkei Avos. We have six chapters, and Parak Vav is really technically this a collection of brisos that was appended so that we now have 6 weeks so that we could fulfill this midrash of learning for six straight weeks in between the conclusion of Pesach and Shavuos. Why did the minhag emerge? So most likely because Pirkei Avos predominantly deals with midos and character development and refinement. And based on the adage, which we have seen previously of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, we wanted to work on our midos, be more menschlich, be more refined, before we get to the time of Matan Torah that is celebrated on Shavuos. With that in mind, we can understand one final introductory point, which is that when the Gaonim collected these brisos into what is now known as Perek Vav, the dominant topic of Perek Vav is all about Torah. In fact, you have what I have said in the past. This is just an off-the-cuff comment, but I have not yet seen anything that would make me change my mind. This may be the most intensive, single, concentrated, I guess you could say, collection of statements by Chazal about the power, the majesty, the magic of Torah study, the importance of Torah study in any one place, because the Gaonim collected many, many such statements, and they collated it all together into this one central place called now Perek Vav of Avos, which is Brisos, technically speaking, all about Talmud Torah, the importance of Torah, the centrality of Torah, the magic, the power, the beauty of Torah and Torah study. And of course, this makes sense, given the fact that this is the last chapter, the last week, leading up to the Chag of Shavuos. So we have the first five chapters of Derech Eretz, of Midos, Kadma LaTorah, leading into the sixth chapter, all about Torah. That being said, let's share a brief teaching from the opening Mishnah, or again, more precisely, the opening Brisa. Perek Vav begins with Rabbi Meir Omer, Kal Osek B'Torah L'Shma, Zocha L'Dvarim Harbe, V'lo Od Ela Shekal Olam Kulo, Kedai Hu Lo. Right, an amazing statement. Talk about not pulling any punches, leading, you know, with your best shot. Remeir lets it be known right at the outset, and the Gaonim, by establishing this as the opening Brisa, the opening of Perek Vav, make it very clear the type of theme, you know, that we are going to be establishing, and that is an incredible compliment, extolling how important it is and how impressive it is for someone who learns Torah compellingly, consistently, and not only that, but without any ulterior motives, who learns Torah l'shma. Such a person, says Rabbi Meir, will be rewarded with many things, Zochel Advarim Harbe, and not only will he get many rewards, but he is so important and so beloved to God, to Hashem, that the whole world, it would have been worth it to create the whole world just for such a person. As the Bartanura and others, excuse me, as the commentary on the side here, which is Meyuchas L'Rashi, we're not sure if it's really Rashi, but it was known historically as Rashi's commentary, says, Kolomar Shenivra Bishvilo, right, that the whole world was created for such a person. And the lengthy brisa, we're not going to read it all inside, but the lengthy brisa goes on to list many different compliments or attributes or rewards that a person who learns Torah l'shma will merit. So just to give a few brief examples in the beginning before we get to the ones that we want to discuss more in depth. So the brisa begins, Nikra Rea, Ahuv, this person is considered the best friend, the beloved of Hashem. Oves Amakom, this person achieves the level of being truly someone who loves Hashem. Oves Abrios, through the Torah study, he will genuinely love other people. Misameach Amakom, he makes Hashem happy. Misameach Brios, he'll make other people happy. And then we get to the point which I'd like to focus on. Umalbashtu Anava V'yira. And he will be enclothed with humility and fear of heaven. Fascinating. Fascinating. Now, again, as I say, we're only about halfway through the Braisa. There's a lot more, but we're not going to read that inside now. But I'd like to pause and see what Rav Asher Weiss says in his commentary about this final phrase that we read, Umalbashto Anava V'yira. So Rav Asher Weiss begins by just pointing out that it's hard to overstate, it's hard to exaggerate just how important Chazal saw these two midos, how important it is to be humble, how important it is to have genuine fear of heaven, Yirash Shemayim. And as he points out, Ein Kamosan B'Shleimas Adam. Right? There's no more important midos when it comes to a person developing a well-balanced, complete, whole personality of an Eved Hashem. And he quotes a few psukim that highlight the importance of these respective midos in Mishlei, Perek Kafbet, Ekev Anava, Yiras Hashem. Here you have a pasuk actually combining the two, Reishas Chachma, Yiras Hashem, etc., etc. So you have, and then he quotes even from Yerushalmi and other things, and again, we could spend, Rav Asher Weiss doesn't, and we won't, but one really could spend an entire shiur just going through the Mamari Chazal about the importance of humility, that's for sure. Yerushamayim, what does Yerushamayim mean? Those are all worthy of a shiur in of itself, but we will suffice with just that brief reference point that backs up the fact that even though these two things are just mentioned in a long list of other things in our Braisa here in Perkei Avos, Perek Vav, but the truth is that there are many, many sources of equal, if not more important weight, which talk about how important these two midos are respectively. As Rav Asher Weiss sums up this introductory point, Hayira va'anava, hein heim ha'yisodos ha'chashuvim biyoser, b'shleimus adam. Right? These are perhaps the two most important things, you could argue, when it comes to a person truly developing him or herself. And what our Braisa is now adding, what we wouldn't have known until we got to Perkei Avos, Perek Vav, is that one of the ways a person could merit and could achieve these two incredibly important attributes is through learning Torah Lishma. Okay, Adkan, the introduction. Rav Asher Weiss goes on, and this will be the entire little piece that he tries to share with us, based on one simple insight, a careful reading of the Braisa. Eich eish lehovin lashon levisha sheba Braisa. Ba'amram umal bashto anava v'yira. Right? All of the other things that are mentioned here in this Braisa, if a person learns Torah Lashma, he will be zoche to all these things. He will be called God's best friend, God's lover, someone who loves God, someone who loves people, etc., etc. Only about these do we have this curious phrase that introduces it. Umal bashtu another v'yira. He will be clothed in humility and yira. Why choose this surprising and not typical, uncommon phrase to describe the fact that a person will, presumably what's being conveyed is, as we've explained it, that a person who does this will merit to achieve humility and yira shamayim. Why not just say that? He will be an anav. He will be yirei shemayim. That would be consistent with the language of the rest of the Braisa. Why use this term umal bushto? So, really, I'd say in a very small but I would say reflective example of just the absolute mind-bogglingly comprehensive knowledge of Rav Asher Weiss from everything about everything. In order to answer this question, Rav Asher Weiss turns to an introduction of a very important sefer of halacha that is perhaps not well appreciated, certainly by the average person. Rabbanim, maybe people studying halacha in the most intense ways, may be familiar with the sefer, but I think for the average person it's not so well known, and that is the sefer of the Levush. Levush, which was written by Rav Mordechai Yaffe, this was one of the books that had hoped, more or less, I'm being rough now, this is not a history class, but roughly speaking, more or less around the time of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. And this was also an attempt to create a code of Jewish law. We all know how the story ends. The Shulchan Aruch becomes the dominant work of code of Jewish law. The Ramah becomes kind of a gloss on the Shulchan Aruch, as he refers to himself, the tablecloth on the table, the Mapa al HaShulchan, the Ramah adding Ashkenazic, Ha'aras, Minhagim, that are a little bit different for Ashkenazim. And then the Levush goes ahead with, and is, he publishes his entire work, his entire magnum opus, which is on all four of the chalakim of the Shulchan Aruch. And often he might be agreeing with the Shulchan Aruch, sometimes he's disagreeing, but he's not really relating to it as much as writing an independent work of halacha by someone who is roughly a contemporary. As I said, history, so to speak, voted that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are far more influential and well-known, and so much of the halacha that we have in the last 500 years are people commenting on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. However, the Lavush was a hugely important and influential sefer, and whether it's the Mishnah Berurah and many others, people certainly quote with and contend with his opinion. All of that as an introduction, says Rav Asher Weiss, you should be aware that in the introduction to the Lavush, and again, how brilliant of Rav Asher Weiss even to go there, so to speak, to think about this, to make the association between our Braisa, his question about the funny word choice, and of all places, I don't know where I would have thought, even if I would have noticed this and had the same question as Rav Asher Weiss, I don't know if in a million years I would have thought to look, oh yeah, we have one important sefer in halacha, in the history of halacha, whose name is from the same root. Malbushto, the language in our Braisa, person will be clothed with humility and fear of heaven. And now we have a sefer in halacha called the Lavush. We call it Lavush for short. Rav Asher Weiss points out that in each of the volumes, he has a different name based on the famous pasuk in Megillas Esther. And again, his name was Mordechai, Mordechai Yafta. So the famous pasuk in Megillas Esther about how Mordechai went out from the king dressed in the fancy clothing and he was Lavush Be. Lavush HaTcheles, that's one of the volumes. Lavush HaTeres Zahav, Lavush HaButz VaHargaman, Ir Shushan. All of the different works of the Lavush are plays on the psukim that describe the greatness and the kavod that was given to Mordechai. And he as Rabbi Mordechai, Yafe, has his book known as The Lavush. So Rav Asher Weiss, again, as I say, in his bekiyas, but also his just creative genius to think, to look there, so to speak, points out that if you look in the Hakadama, the introduction to the Lavush, Rav Mordechai Yafe explains why did he choose the name Lavush for his sefer. Kind of a funny work, a funny name, so to speak, for a work of halacha. Clothing, that's the name of the book. So he quotes here, and I'm reading back inside from Rav Asher Weiss. Ubhagdama l'sifro, his beer, shekala Torah, lavush hi l'adam. Hi haksonis or hakosav v'sifro shel Rebbe Meir. Let's unpack this. Says Rav Mordechai Yafe, in his introduction to the work, Lavush, this important work of halacha from 500 years ago, the reason he called the book Lavush is because, in fact, this is the whole Torah. Torah itself is referred to as the Lavush of people. Torah, in a sense, is the clothing of mankind. Where does he get this idea from? He points out this is the tradition from the great Tana, Rebbe Meir, who, on the Pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis, that describes when Adam and Chava can't be naked anymore and they need clothing, it refers to the kisones or, right? That clothing that they have. And also the different interpretations of what that means. But in Rav Asher Weiss doesn't quote this, but I looked it up. I believe the source for this is Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Chaf, Simon Yud Bet. There, Rabbi Meir is quoted as interpreting what is kisones or, this clothing, so to speak, that's given to Adam and Chava, that he says that is referring to Torah. Amazing. I never knew this. Rav Asher Weiss then reverts to the fact to tell us, very fascinatingly, that aside from being a genius in halacha, Rav Mordechai Yafe also was a good songwriter or a poet. And he introduces his hakdama, really striking, he introduces his hakdama, the one that we just quoted from, and he says, speaking about himself in third person, Amar HaTofer. He refers to himself as a tofer, as a tailor, who's making and presenting with us his finished product, the book, the Lavush. He's presenting it as if this was a, you know, custom-made, a new suit, a new dress, a new item of clothing, a new robe for people to wear. He refers to himself as the tailor, the custom-made tailor. Tofer says. So that's also just an interesting data point. And then he points out that this idea that the Torah was the original clothing of mankind, that Mordechai Yafe wrote a poem or a song about this. Yatzar b'shishi adam v'ishto arumim. These are the words of this song or poem that Mordechai Yafe shares with us in his introduction. How on the sixth day of creation, Adam and his wife, were naked. Yelchu b'lo bush, uvelo nichlamim. We know initially, were not embarrassed at all. The different type of experiments in men. Bigde yesha, hilbisham, beketer hilumim, hilbisham ketones or, kimasoris Rabbi Meir, manhir einei chachamim. What was the type of clothing that eventually they received? So he refers to Rabbi Meir. It was the words of Torah, the words of Chazal. Okay, Ad Kan, the basic insight as a introductory point to him getting back to our Brisa and explaining it. We'll get to it in a second. We haven't forgotten. But the data point that we're pulling, that we're culling from the work of the Levush in his introduction is based on the teaching of the famous Tana, Rebbe Meir. Torah itself is a form of Levush. And before we had this as available to us, we were naked. And then Hashem gave us, so to speak, Torah to clothe us. With that reference point in mind, says Rav Asher Weiss, let's turn our attention back to our Pirkei Avos and answer our question, why is it that, or what was the Brisa trying to convey by telling us that if a person learns Torah Lishma, Malbushto Anava V'yira, that they will be clothed with humility and fear. Says Rav Asher Weiss, Ein lecha mevuza kimahalech arum bashok. V'afim odam nechbad ya chacham chukam. Still, boshes techasehu b'arumav. On the contrary, kecholshia nechbad yoter, gedola bushato shivatayim. Says Rav Asher Weiss, if we think about it, there's really nothing more embarrassing, nothing more degrading than a person who would be naked in public. And I know what you're thinking, that there are many people, unfortunately, in the Western world, who walk around nearly naked nowadays, and that's called fashion, and that's even respectable. That's lamentable, obviously, from our perspective, and it's a point well taken. But even in the world in which we live in, which seems to get crazier by the day, as far as I know, it still would be unheard of and completely humiliating if a person had what is, I guess, sometimes referred to as a wardrobe malfunction, and they were completely naked in public. It would be utterly humiliating and degrading for anybody. That being said, says Rav Asher Weiss, it doesn't matter. It's such a degrading thing. It wouldn't matter how smart you are, how honorable you are, how respected you are. That wouldn't outweigh the embarrassment. On the contrary, the more respected you are, the more important you are, the more prominent you are, the more famous you are, the greater your embarrassment and humility and humiliation, I should say, would be if this happened to you and you turned out to be naked. I mean, unfortunately, and very, very sadly, sometimes we read stories about people who are, you know, completely mentally disturbed, homeless, and other people who are completely, completely, unfortunately, anusim. They don't have the mental capacity, unfortunately. And sometimes we, you know, the police or others will find them walking around naked. And it is, again, without necessarily faulting people who have the mental problems, of course, mental challenges. But that itself is a great indication of how far they've fallen, so to speak, right? No one other than a person who's suffering like that would allow themselves to be walking around naked. Okay, so Rav Asher Weiss points out something that's just obvious, but we should, you know, we're spending a minute thinking about it and really internalizing it, but it's an obvious point. As he said, Ein lecha mevuza kemahalach arum bashuk. That's the case, he says, and here's the punchline, Kach, mi she'ein bo anava ve'ein yiras Hashem shor alav, arum hu, mikol mida tova. Wow. What a simple but profound and powerful insight. Says Rav Asher Weiss, what the Brisa is conveying to us by saying that if you learn Torah Lishma, you will have humility and fear, anava v'yira, and it says that in the term, in the language of umal bushto, it's conveying to us to the fact that if you have those midos, hopefully, you are clothed. But the opposite is the real lesson, says Rav Asher Weiss. If a person says, okay, I have 10 other good midos, 20 other good midos, but I'm not so humble. I have 20 other good midos, but I don't have Yirah Shamayim. You'd think, okay, it would be better to have those two, but at least have all these other things. No, says Rav Asher. By using this term Malbushto, what the Brisa is telling us is, if you're missing either of these two, you're basically naked. Just to be dressed in the most bare minimum for human decency and human dignity, you have to have humility. You have to have Yirah Shamayim. If you're lacking either of those, you might as well have no clothing on. You might think, I have all these other midos, so I'm not an anav. I'm missing my pocket square. I'm missing a corsage. I'm missing a little detail. I'm missing my jacket. No. If you're missing one of these, you might as well be naked. You're missing everything. Umal bushto anava v'yira. A person who has anava v'yira is clothed, but the more important point is, if you don't have those, therefore, you're not even clothed. You are nothing. And therefore, the Brisa is coming to tell us, rak ayde Torah lishma. What is a way that a person can really make sure that they have these two important character traits? If they have Torah Lishma, if they learn Torah Lishma, that will hopefully bring them to Anava and Yirah.